I'm so thankful for that. Y'all don't even know. We're going to go to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 38. We're talking about Martha and Mary today. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we're going to read through 42. When you have it, please say amen. I'll wait for a couple more amens. Ready? Say amen. All right, let's dig into the word. And it reads, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered," speaking of Jesus, "into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary," everyone say Mary, "which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much." "Was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" The word of God for the people of God. So I want to come to you from the title message, "The One Thing." The One Thing. Here we have Jesus who is traveling, and he comes to this village called Bethany, or a suburb within Jerusalem. It's very close to Jerusalem, and Martha welcomes him into the house. Now, back then, the women were supposed to be performing the duties of the house, as we know, cooking in the kitchen, cleaning, all of those things, right? And so Martha was doing her due diligence, as a young woman is supposed to do, and she is preparing this meal for Jesus, and we think maybe his disciples as well. Well, she gets so disturbed because she's like, okay, Mary done went and sat at the feet of Jesus, and she just sitting there. She's not doing it. And so Martha's like, Jesus, sir, are you going to tell her to help me? Like, that's what we do here. Are you going to tell Mary to come over here and help me? And he is literally like, she has chosen the good thing, the good part. She's chosen to come sit with me and to listen and to hear my word. And so in ancient Jewish culture, when we are being taught by a rabbi or taught by a teacher, it is really for male discipleship, for men, right? They're supposed to sit at the feet of the teacher, the rabbi. Well, here we have Mary who's doing that, and she's a woman. And so in that particular culture at the time, that was not the right thing for her to do. It was almost against the law to do it. But Jesus didn't shun her. He welcomed her. He welcomed her to listen to his word, for her to be taught the things that he was trying to teach everyone else. She did not choose the bad thing. She chose the better thing. Yes, it is our due diligence to do work for the kingdom and to serve Jesus and to serve him as he is. That is what we're supposed to do. But the one thing, the good part, is to sit at his feet and to learn from him. And so this is just an opportunity for us to get back to that one thing. And I know that we've been talking about trusting the Lord in our sermons, and we've been talking about his will, and we've been talking about all of these things, but how do we learn to trust God? It's through the one thing. We learn to trust him through that one thing of sitting at his feet. So let's dig in just a little deeper into each scripture. So I'm going to skip to verse 40 really fast, and it says, "Martha was cumbered and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" So how many of us have been like Martha, looking at everybody else when we're serving Jesus, and like, man, you're not doing nothing for the Lord. You don't pray. You don't do that. That's been me, right? I'm not the only one in here. And then, and concerned about someone else and what their relationship with God looks like. We have all done that at some giving point. And so I can imagine Martha in this kitchen-like area, and she's frustrated, but she's supposed to be serving Jesus, right? But she's frustrated. She's mad at her sister. She can't even focus on the fact that his presence is in her house, that he is actively in her house right now. And so many times we look at the next person when we should be looking at ourselves, that we should be working on our relationship with God. And then not getting lost in the fact that he's with you all times of the day, especially now in our day and age. Now, back then, he was physically there, right? He was physically in her house. We get access spiritually wherever we go. So when we walk out of our house, he goes with us. And although it appeared that Mary was doing nothing because she wasn't doing the things that we expected with her hands physically, she was spiritually serving our Lord and Jesus Christ. She was spiritually connecting to him. And so I can only imagine Mary sitting attentively, eyes focused on him and every word that was coming out of his mouth, and allowing it to digest and to hit her heart, to be digested in her belly. You see, Martha was preparing a physical feast. Mary was sitting and receiving a spiritual feast. And she was eating the word moment by moment. And then Jesus, he addresses Martha, and he says, "Martha, Martha," much like he did to Peter when he asked Peter two times, or he said, "Peter, Peter, do you love me?" It's out of concern. It's out of love. "Martha, Martha." He said it to Paul as well before he became Saul, or before Saul became Paul. "Saul, Saul, it is me." It's that concern and that love. And sometimes he'll call our name one, two, three times. "Tierra, Tierra." You are concerned about the wrong things. You need to be concerned about me. And the next verse, verse 42, says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." We have a choice to sit at his feet. We have an opportunity to sit at his feet. And unlike other countries, some countries, Christianity is not something that is legal. Yet here we have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom to pray. We have the freedom to do whatever we need to do, whether it's in our house or outside of our house. We have that freedom, but we take it for granted. We don't sit at the feet of Christ the way that we should. We do these drive-by prayers, these drive-by study moments, and we expect to grow in the Lord. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but God said, as I was preparing this message, he said, "Slow down and prioritize my presence." He didn't say, "Get into my presence." He said, "Prioritize." Ooh. And I'll come back to that because I'm getting ahead of myself. But Mary made the choice to sit at his feet. She could have been doing all the things that God called her to do, serving him in the moment. But she said, "Oh no, I'm not going to miss his presence. I'm not going to miss what's coming out of his mouth. I'm not going to miss nothing." And she sat at his feet. And as we talk about slowing down and prioritizing the presence of God, prioritizing means that, and this is according to Google, we designate or treat something as more important than other things. Prioritizing Jesus's presence is being sure that that thing is more important. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is more important than going to work. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is more important than going on a run. sitting at the feet of Jesus is more important than, you know, anything in this world that I put before Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than that. So if I don't take my time to sit with the Lord, if I don't take my time to sit at his feet, I'm not putting him first. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. So if you have a gap, if you have something missing in your life, you seek ye first the kingdom of God. Sit at the feet of Jesus and watch how your life changes. Now, when we talk about the one thing, when he tells us to prioritize, I love that if we could go to Psalm, and you don't have to go physically, but I'm going to read it. We're going to talk a little bit about David. So throughout the Bible, there are a few people who had this one thing that God said that they needed, or one thing that they were desiring from the Lord. And so in Psalms 27:4, David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David's one thing was his presence, is what he desired. Sitting at his feet, David didn't want to just sit at his feet. He wanted to dwell in his house forever. And we all know the story of David, and he wasn't perfect. He sinned and he had issues, right? But the Lord forgave him and brought him back. And David is the man after God's own heart. That's how we know him. He's the man after God's own heart. But what if we were all a woman or a man after God's own heart, seeking his presence, desiring to be in his presence at all times? There are things that you won't let come into your space when you are in God's presence at all times. Enoch walked with the Lord. And his story is, I can't imagine, like, he walked with God for over 300 years. And he knew God inside and out. And God knew him. And he didn't have to go through the physicality of death. He was just taken up to heaven because of his obedience and his walk with him. And so we have to have that desire. We have to have the desire that so much that we want to breathe, we want to spend time with the Lord. That we want to be in his presence at all times. My dad's prayer every day is to walk with God every day, so that I can hear his voice. And even being in the car on the way here, right? I know that he's with me. I talk to him all day. Lord, can you please provide a way out? And he did. And so when we get into the presence of God, and when we really seek and desire to be in his presence, he will answer almost immediately. Amen. Because he hears our hearts and he loves us. And see, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they were good friends of Jesus. He loved them. Even Mary, who was focused on other things, he loved her dearly. And so he loves us so much, y'all. And I don't think we fully grasp like how much he loves us. You think your parents love you? Jesus loves you more than your parents do. He is the closest form. He died for you and me. And so because of his death, why can't I just sit at his feet? Because of what he did for me, why can't I just sit at his feet? Go to my closet, and sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You just sit and listen. Wait for him to speak to you. And then we have Mark. Mark 10:21 says, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The one thing in this particular scripture was surrender and obedience. How do we learn to surrender and obey? We sit at the feet of Jesus. There's one thing that's wrapped in all of these is relationship. When I have a relationship with Jesus and I know who he is, I know who I am. When I know who I am, I will seek him further and deeper, and he will present his will for my life to me. When I know his will, I will then perform the purpose that he provided for me to do. When I do the purpose, I know that I'm on the right track, and I know that when it's time for me to go, I'm going to heaven. But all of that starts with one thing. It starts with sitting at his feet and learning from him. It starts with sitting at his feet and learning who you are. And so when Mary came intensely, she was devoted to him in that moment. Full devotion. And I truly believe that in the instance of sitting at his feet, it's a reflection, it's a mirror of what he wants you to be, the characteristics he wants you to have, the kind of person he wants you to walk out of this room to be. When you first get into church, when I first got into church, I was one way at church, but then with my friends, I was a different person. But as I grew more in the Lord and as I built more relationship, I didn't compartmentalize who I was anymore. I was the same everywhere I went. So I was the same person at home that I was at work. I was the same person at work that I was at church. And that's what happens when you build relationship and you start becoming like him. He infuses your soul and your spirit in with him. And if you don't look like him, he's going to let you know. He will convict your heart. Amen. I get convicted for things that other people don't get convicted for. And I'm like, I can't, that's y'all business, but I can't do that. God called me to something different. There's a lot of amens about that one. So y'all with me on that one. And so I want us to remember our posture when we sit at his feet. It is literally humbling. It is humility. It is pouring out everything to him. And so I don't want us to just stay here, but I want us to really understand that when we sit at his feet, like we get to know our purpose. We get to know who we are and the reflection of who he is. But even to understand grief and the loss of family members, we've got to sit at his feet. And I bring this up because Mary from Bethany, I think a lot of people get her confused. They think that Mary is Mary Magdalene. These are two different Marys. Mary of Bethany is the one that fell at his feet, and she fell at his feet three times. So the first time was in the house when he came, the first time to Martha's house, and he was served by them, and she sat at his feet to learn. Well, then later on, you remember Lazarus, right? This is Mary and Martha's brother. He died. And Martha went ahead and ran to Jesus. And she said, if you had been there, he wouldn't have died. And then she ran back home and she told Mary, she said, Mary, Jesus is asking for you. When Jesus asks for you and he calls for you, what should you do? You better run and get there. And what do you think Mary did? Mary ran. She was obedient. It wasn't a thought. She wasn't thinking. Back then in ancient times, when they were grieving, they stayed at the house and prayed and, all of the things. And they had people who came and supported them. Mary said, I'm out of here. And she went to Jesus. And what did she do when she met him? She fell at his feet in grief, wailing, crying. If you had been there, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus' response, he wept. The only time that it records that Jesus cried, he wept. His love for this family was so deep. And he was saddened by it. And that's not my sermon. It's not about Lazarus today. It's about the fact that she fell at his feet. She returned to the posture where she was learning. Right? The first posture, she sat at his feet to learn and to hear. And then when she was going through grief and pain, she ran to Jesus and she fell at his feet. She fell in sorrow, in crying, seeking comfort. Any of you ever lost anybody? I lost four people close to me in the last 4 weeks. Yesterday was the first day that I slowed down to process. And Jesus reminded even me last night. He said, Tierra, you just sit at my feet. I got them. They're with me, right? And so Mary knew, she knew that if anyone could change her situation, it was Jesus. Now, Jesus made it a point, again, Lazarus is not my story, but I do love it. But Jesus made it a point to wait 4 days to make Lazarus rise. Because 3 days in Jewish time, it was said that the spirit kind of mingles for 3 days. So he intentionally waited until after the third day. He waited till the fourth day, and then he rose, right? And so he brought Lazarus back. And from that point, I don't know how long it was, but time went on. And Jesus comes back, and he comes to Simon the leper's house. And guess who's there hosting the dinner? Martha. Martha is there. She's preparing the food. They're all sitting at the table eating. Lazarus is alive. It's this amazing celebration. And what does Mary do? She goes back to his feet. As Jesus is eating, she sits at his feet and she takes this alabaster box of oil, the most expensive oil. And it was supposed to be preparation for his burial because that was coming in the next few days, the next week. And what did she do? She took this expensive oil that was worth about 300, I don't know if it's denarii, but it was 300 something, sorry. And she broke it upon his feet and she wept. But in this moment at his feet, she was worshiping him. She was honoring him because of all that he did for her and her family. I mean, he brought her brother back to life. He was dead. He didn't smell good. Like his body was deteriorating. And he brought him back to life. And so she showed her thankfulness, her gratefulness, her honor by worshiping him with the most expensive alabaster box of oil. And as her tears fell, she washed his feet and dried them with her hair. How many times have we come to him just to worship and honor him on our knees? How many times have we gone to the closet to get on our face and to just honor him for what he's done in our lives? Whatever he's brought you through, whatever he's comforted you through, how many times have you come down and you've just sat down on his knee, on your knees, and you just said, Lord, thank you. God, I honor you. And you surrender your whole everything to him. Sitting at his feet. The one thing he desires is you, is me. Our hearts, our obedience, our surrender. That's all he wants. Once he has that, then he's going to give you your new identity, your new name. Then he'll give you his will for your life. Then he'll give you his purpose for your life. And you'll say yes, and you'll commit, and you'll walk it out. And then when it's time for you to go on to heaven, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you can clap, that's fine. We will live forever, whether we are in hell or in heaven. So you make the choice. Every time you miss sitting at his feet, you're missing a time to get to know him better. Every time you miss sitting at his feet, you miss a time of knowing your Father. He created each and every one of us. The one thing that we need is not more money, not a bigger house, not another car. The one thing that we need is Jesus Christ. The one thing that we need is a connection with him. And so when you leave this earth, will your children know how to sit at his feet? Because it's getting crazy out there, y'all. They got little teddy bears that look like little demons, you know? And so my son showed me it yesterday. But, you know, it's in hindsight, right? You can't see it unless you're spiritually connected to God. There's so many people that are blind to what's going on in our world today. There are so many people that don't see the issue and the problems with social media and the exposure and, you know, all the things that our children are exposed to. So if you don't have anyone in the house that is spiritually inclined, that can hear, that can see in the spirit, our kids are damned to hell. So we got to teach them that one thing, how to sit at the feet of Jesus, how to pray, how to seek the Lord for themselves, and watch God answer their prayers. We have nothing to do with that. That's their relationship with the Lord. And so I'll never get up here and not preach about the children. Never. Because that's a part of my purpose too. I'll never get up here and not preach about relationship with Jesus, because that's a part of my purpose. If I start talking about something else, y'all better tell Pastor and get me up out of here. I will never get up here and not obey what he told me to do. But that starts with knowing who you are in Christ. It starts with sitting at his feet. And then we can trust God. And then we can walk in the way he called us to walk. And then we'll spend more time with him. This could be a convicting, heartfelt, you know, sermon, or it could be something that you embrace. And you're like, you know what? Like, I need to sit at the feet of Jesus even more. I need to make sure that I make time for him, because he makes time for us. He's just waiting on each and every one of us. And so as I get ready to close, I want us to go ahead and stand. And I want us to focus on your relationship with God. I want you to bow your heads, and I want you to either make a commitment to do more, or say, Lord, like I will start my journey with you today at sitting at your feet. Because we have to sit at his feet to learn. We have to sit at his feet to understand how to grieve. And we have to sit at his feet to worship and honor him. Those are the one part of the one thing, which is the relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's all go to God in prayer. And you have this individual moment with him. Heavenly Father, God, you are good, God. And as we stand before you, Lord, you hear all the prayers of your people and of your children, Lord. You hear the one thing, as you've told us, is to connect with you, to learn and to hear your word. To know that in our grief and in our sorrow, we can come and be comforted by you. And that in all the things and reverence that you do for us, just waking us up in the morning, we can be grateful and thankful. We can worship and we can honor you, Lord. God, help us to slow down, to slow our lives down, God, so that we can prioritize your presence, so that we pick you over anything else, God, because of that one thing, relationship and connection with you, God. So for those who are starting today, help them, Lord, to start even if it's just 5 minutes, God. 5 minutes a day that they commit to you, Lord. And as that time grows to 30 minutes and an hour, Lord, that they would find goodness in just sitting in your presence.
And for those of us who just need to tighten it up a little bit, Lord, I just pray right now that you would build discipline, consistency, and help us to remember you created us. And that we owe you our time. So Lord God, we honor you in these things and we don't take it for granted, God. The small gestures that you give us, the small gestures that you do in our lives, that you give us these sweet kisses to remind us of who you are. We say thank you. We lift up your holy and your righteous name. In your son Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tierra. I'm always blessed when I'm reminded of God's word and the things that one thing that we should be most concerned about. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. It's a blessing to see you here. Those are here and those watching online, thank you so much for joining us. We hope and pray that this service has been a blessing to you today. Before I end, I just have a couple of announcements. If you have not had an opportunity to give, we do ask that you do so. Following the instructions on the screen, we need a blessing. If God has put it on your heart to give, the monies that come through this ministry go out to bless others with the word of God. And that is our purpose. Amen. Also to remind you that we do have a laity to laity service on September 10th, which is this Wednesday. I personally came through the laity to laity service, and I was always blessed when our church family came out to hear us speak. So if you're able to come out on Wednesday, please come out and support those who are ministering in our laity to laity service. And then the last announcement, the church will host a movie night on September 26th at 7 p.m. So if you plan to attend or if you are able to volunteer on that day, there are sign-up sheets on the table. So please take a moment to sign up on the sheet or sign up to volunteer if you plan to attend. Amen. Thank you all for coming and have a blessed week. You are dismissed.